You're listening to Honestly Mental, the podcast, and I'm your host, Erica Diaz. I'm a wife, a mama, a woman in leadership, but y'all, I'm a perfectly imperfect human. I have depression, PTSD, and generalized anxiety disorder, and I am figuring it out every single day. It's really been quite the journey, so this podcast aims to provide a raw and authentic approach to several issues surrounding mental health. Through the lens of our guests and I, we will provide insight into how we navigated our own challenges through honest and vulnerable conversation. We are building a community of individuals committed to changing the world, one conversation, one person at a time. We are raising awareness by destigmatizing mental health through continuing the conversation. We are providing hope and ultimately have a goal of saving the lives of those who may be feeling dark and alone. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited for today's episode, Betting on Yourself with Therese. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about her background. So Therese in 2021 was fired from her job and decided to make some drastic changes. The first thing she did was take advice from her husband, Kevin. And, you know, what advice was that, right? And it was to pursue her dreams of speaking and supporting leaders who struggle with self-confidence and experience imposter syndrome, which is something that I struggle with too. So again, I'm just thrilled to have you here. Therese is a leadership consultant and dynamic keynote speaker with more than 20 years of experience in enhancing organizational cultures. And she's known for inspiring leaders and teams to move beyond the unique challenges of the industry and overcome limiting beliefs to level up their skills and embrace new opportunities to excel. So, Therese, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm glad to have you here.
Oh, no, I have been waiting for today. So I am super, super excited to talk to you today.
Good deal. So why don't we start off by you sharing a little bit about why you're here and sharing your story. If it relates to mental wellness, that is perfect. And then we'll dive into our topic of betting on yourself.
Sure. So why am I here? Well, as you mentioned earlier, you know, my journey started when I was fired from my job in 2021. But the part of that story that really led me here was, you know, I was in that position for a very long time. I'd been in leadership positions before, but I always struggled to, I guess, believe that I belonged. I struggled to speak up a lot of times. And what I found was I started losing myself. I started losing enthusiasm. It made me just unhappy, not just in the work life, but in my personal life as well. So I share that to say that after a lot of coaching from my husband and friends, and also actually having conversations internally with the organization, you know, it just made sense. It was time for a promotion. So the piece of that story is that the morning that I had put everything together, I had my like promotion pitch ready, I had the data, I actually felt pretty positive about this. I went into a meeting with my leader, prepared to ask for a promotion, had that pitch on the screen, ready to go, and I was terminated instead. So that's really the true story behind how I ended up here, because what I didn't even realize that I was struggling with self-confidence. I didn't even realize that I felt less than everyone else. It's like this like subconscious thing that happens that you're not even aware of it as it's happening. So, you know, the things that happened after that termination, I really went to a very, very low, low place. So your introduction talks about the good side, right? My husband, Kevin, and he really, you know, motivated me, but that introduction doesn't cover the fact that it took about a month and a half of crying every day, feeling like a failure, walking around the house, looking at my kids, thinking, wow, you know, what a disappointment I am as a mom. I can't do this. Look at how I failed you and I failed our family. So that went on for a good month and a half. And after that conversation with Kevin, and really just not even believing what he was saying, you know, I started to recognize that even in pursuing my dreams, I struggled.
Yeah.
I didn't even believe that it was a thing that was realistic for me. And I know that deep down inside, I didn't believe that I deserved it or that I was even talented or smart enough or capable enough to even, like, how dare I pursue my dreams? That makes no sense. So that's really what led me to here, because in pursuing my dreams, I had to do a lot of work on myself. And in helping others, I had to do a lot of work on myself. And so that's why now you're here with me and I'm having this conversation.
Yeah, no. And, you know, I think that's a good starting off point in talking about your layoff, because you and I have both been in that scenario, unfortunately, and maybe fortunately at the same time because of what it led us to. But do you think that that experience exacerbated the thoughts of low self-confidence and really, you like, maybe they were there kind of subconsciously? But then when that occurred, what did that do? I mean, you talked a little bit about it already, but what else did that do to you?
Well, what it did was it just confirmed all of the bad things I was already thinking about myself. So, you know, there was no more of this, oh, it's just all in your head. No, they, you know, by terminating me, they said I wasn't good enough. And so what that did was it just confirmed everything for me. So, you know, it was really, really hard. And I think back now and I gave so much of myself. And I think you hear that from so many people. I gave so much of myself, my time with my family, to this role or to previous roles. And, you know, hearing those, it told me a couple of things. It confirmed everything that I was already thinking, all the bad things. And basically it said to me that I didn't matter enough.
Yeah. And that's rough.
Especially for someone like me, where, you know, a lot of my identity and how I looked at myself was tied into the work that I did. And so if you tell me, which, you know, by terminating me, you're telling me I didn't matter enough and I didn't belong and I wasn't good enough. Well, then, wow. So then where does that leave me at that point?
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think something that I experienced too. So I think it was obvious for me that I struggled with imposter syndrome. It wasn't something that was subconscious, but I too didn't feel like I was just worthy of my accomplishments. And then you're right, getting the news that you've been laid off meant that you didn't make the mark. You were below the line. And there was something else you should have done or could have done or what have you. And as somebody who, and I'm working on this, still a work in progress, but as somebody who seeks external validation, boy, that was a blow to the system.
Oh, I mean, you're preaching to the choir, honestly, Erica, because I just, everything that you just said. So, you know, yes, they had to make a choice. And they didn't choose me. They didn't choose you. So why? And so what also happens when these situations occur is you're kind of left bewildered because you're not quite sure why. And you know, you need to know why. And for me, I never got the why. I never got the closure. And it's something that I eventually had to let go of. But you're right. For as someone who seeks validation outside of herself, and I do that every single day. So that's one thing to call out here is when you're dealing with things like imposter syndrome or lack of self-confidence, I personally don't 100% buy into the fact that you can overcome it. I don't think it's something that you overcome. I think it's something that you just get better equipped to handle as you work on yourself, you work on your, you know, your craft, whatever it is. And you start to build some confidence, but really what you're doing is you're working that muscle so that when those situations arise that trigger that response in you of, oh my gosh, you know, why didn't I get, you know, all these responses or likes or whatever on my post, or why did they hire Erica versus me to speak at this one thing, or all of those things, those things are going to happen. But what will happen is you will be better equipped to handle it. And so you may respond in the same way, but your recovery time will be less and less and less. So gone are the days where something happens and I'm like in the trenches. I'm in the gutter for like a week and a half. I'm in the gutter, right? And then a week and a half later, I'm just like, okay, fine, I guess, whatever. I guess I have to move on. Those days are gone for me. I still respond in a bad way. I actually posted about this a couple of days ago. I still respond in a way that, because it's still triggering for me, but I quickly recover because I go to a couple of things that I always do, which is I find the facts. I find the facts about me. What are the good things that I'm doing? What are the accomplishments I've made? But okay, what are the facts? Where were some areas that I could have, you know, done that a little differently or improved there? That's facts. I can work with facts, right? Because facts are things that I can like, okay, let me dig into it and see what I need to do to improve. But then I try to remember that, you know what, I'm a human being, I'm imperfect, but what sets me apart from so many people is I wake up every single day and I try my very best. And if I go through the day and I'm laying my head down at night and I can say, yeah, I tried my best today, then that's a win for me. So my recovery time is a lot less and it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It doesn't change my initial reaction. It doesn't change my initial feeling of, oh my gosh, I suck. But yeah, my recovery time is less. So, you know, I don't necessarily buy into the fact that we can, you know, overcome imposter syndrome 100%. I think that is such a deeply rooted symptom or thing that we're dealing with. It didn't happen when you got fired. It didn't happen when you got your first job. You know, you have to peel back to years and years and years and years and years before the internet, at least for me, before the internet. I was around before the internet. I have friends where we're like, remember I knew you before the internet. But, you know, it took so long to get to this place of not feeling good enough, not belonging. And it was something that was learned and taught over so many years and decades.
Yeah.
It's not going to just go away just like that. There's no book out there. There's no, self-confidence conference you can go to. There's just, it's not out there, but all of those tools are there in place to help you build your muscle and learn how to combat it when it does happen so that your recovery time is less.
I think that's really refreshing because I recall being in my partial hospitalization program and we would talk a lot about affirmations and like I have affirmations all over the place.
Me too.
But I have a hard time believing them.
Me too.
And so, you know, I just remember being in there and going like, okay, so basically what you're telling me is if I repeat these affirmations enough every day in the mirror or whatever, you know, your process is, then one day I'm just going to wake up and it's going to all be better. And I really like how you described and kind of laid out that the imposter syndrome doesn't necessarily go away. And I it's a relief to me and refreshing just because it changes my perspective on how I'm overcoming that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It feels much more attainable to leverage my toolkit when I need to reel myself in, but it also gives me permission to still, in a way, have the feelings and the triggers. Yep. Because we are all human at the end of the day and we desire social connection. And okay. So, you know, it's just, I really like how you approach it with, you know, having that muscle that you're continuously working so that that recovery time becomes less and less and less. I really I'm going to note that and keep that in my mind for when, you know, something happens to me.
Yeah. That, yeah. And, you know, and so much pressure, right? So in an effort to overcome imposter syndrome, we're putting pressure on ourselves to overcome imposter syndrome.
Right.
So that like makes no sense to me, right? Because, okay, gosh, I'm not even good enough to overcome my imposter syndrome. Like, this is crazy.
It's so true.
So, you know, like just get, like take away that pressure and just you know, people say that all the time, right? Give yourself some grace. And I do believe that, but that's something that, you know, takes time as well. So I think really it's just about learning the things that, you know, trigger a certain reaction in you, and then try to figure out a way to make that recovery time less. That's simple.
So let's shift gears a little bit, because I think one of the things that is really neat about your story is how you took this situation. And then there were all the positive things, like the advice from your husband, Kevin, and you've started your own business. I want to start off with a quote, because this resonated with me. And it says, "And one day she discovered that she was fierce and strong and full of fire, and that not even she could hold herself back because her passion burned brighter than her fears."
Yeah.
And that's by Mark Anthony. I think it's just so on point with where we're going with our conversation today.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, Erica, I'm a dreamer, right? And I lost that for about 2 decades, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are times, you know, every single day I face rejection. Every single day I wake up, I get at least one no.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least one no. At least one. On a good day, it's just one no. But that quote is so, it resonates with me as well, because, you know, one thing I think I have that will continuously push me forward is that fire inside of me, you know, and it's a sense of urgency for me as well too, right? Because I said, I lost about 2 decades, just the dreamer in me, because I was just so bogged down with all the other things, all of the other thoughts. And so here I am, 45, I'm going to be 46 soon. And I feel this sense of urgency, this sense of, you know, I'm not going to say I can do anything, but I will try just about anything. If it's in my mind, if it is a dream, I'm going to try it. I don't know that I'll be able to do it, but I'm definitely going to try it, because I have not felt this level of joy for so long. And it's not because I'm always successful. It's not because I always get every opportunity. It is because I get up and I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And I just, my heart is just so full because of that, because I felt like for about 20 years, I was just kind of caged in.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned productivity or your self-worth in a way, being chained to your productivity. Yes. And I did the same thing. Much of my identity was work. There wasn't like, yes, I'm a wife and a mother and these things outside of work, but what came first in my world was that work persona, right?
Yes,
and so that's exhausting.
And
I can see how through time, especially if you are having a progressive career, you know, how those 10 years or 2 decades end up happening kind of quickly and going by quickly, and you've lost all of that because you didn't have the joy that you have now. But so it's 2021, about a month and a half after you were laid off.
Yes.
And you decided, you know what, I'm going to start my own business. Talk to me a little bit about that, because that's when you really began betting on yourself.
Right. And so, you know, after about a month and a half of drinking way too much wine and watching way too much Netflix and crying way too much, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to start my own business. I had no idea what that was. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. All I knew was that I didn't want to work for someone else. And I knew that I had to do work that filled my cup, that made me feel like I was actually serving others. But I had no idea what that even looked like. I had no clue. And so some of the first steps I took was, well, the first thing I did was I reached out to someone actually in our industry, kind of one of the, you know, the OGs of the staffing world. And I was very vulnerable with him. I had never actually met him in person. I'd only spoken to him a couple of times, but I respected him. And I reached out just to say thank you about something else. And I mentioned what was going on. And I was very, very vulnerable with him in that moment. And he really poured into me in that 5-minute conversation. And, you know, this goes back to the validation from others, right? And so he really poured into me in that moment. And for the first time in, again, 20 plus years, I saw myself differently through his eyes, I guess. Because if this person, this wicked intelligent, you know, charismatic, just all of the things person could say to me, I believe in you. And I really think that the next step for you is owning your own thing and doing your own thing. Well, wow. Okay. Well, if he thinks I can do it, then I don't know, maybe I can. So that was kind of the very first step. The next step was and that was something else that I hadn't done for a very long time. And that was being vulnerable with others. And that is actually a big symptom of imposter syndrome. Actually, I didn't know that at that time, but I just started picking up the phone and calling people that I'd worked with in the past. And I was vulnerable with them. And the one thing that I did, and I forgot where I saw this. I think I saw it on Instagram, because again, I was like Netflix and Instagram. That was my life for a month and a half. But someone said somewhere out there, and they said, you know, reach out to people and ask them to tell you what they think you're really great at.
Oh, I love that.
And I started doing that, and I was terrified because I was like, oh gosh, people are not going to respond. It's going to just whatever. And it was overwhelming.
I was going to ask.
Feedback that I got. And it really started to help me create kind of what that future would look like. And the theme there was speaking. You're an incredible speaker. You just have this way of connecting with people. And these are things that I never really, you know, saw in myself. I always kind of wanted to be a speaker, but I was like, yeah, that's for other people. That's not for me. I'm not good enough to do that. And so that was really what helped me to kind of figure out, okay, what is this business going to look like? What are some of the things I want to do? And so the three things I did, I called that person, I practiced vulnerability, and then I said yes to everything. Every single opportunity that came my way for about 15 months, I said yes to, even if I had no idea what that meant or what that would entail. My response was, yep, I can do it. And then I, you know, had a panic attack after I got off the call. But in doing that, what happened there was, you know, being vulnerable with others allowed others to be empathetic and be supportive toward me and guide me and mentor me. That was huge for me. And then saying yes to everything really stretched me, because I wasn't only going after the things that I thought I was the expert at, right? Because that's what imposter syndrome folks do. We only want to do the things we're good at. Like, don't make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so it pushed me to go beyond the things that I thought I was really good at. And then it also taught me a lot about the things I didn't like, the things I wouldn't do moving forward. And it helped build a ton of relationships, because I'm telling you now, and I'm really happy I can even say this, but 100% of the time, everything that I said yes to, whether or not I liked it, I delivered. I over-delivered. And so as a result, I built some really fantastic relationships. And so that really was how it started. And I will tell you too, Erica, what my business was in the summer of 2021 versus what it is now, night and day. My services, the clients I serve, I mean, it's completely different. And I had to also give myself permission to change, because again, when you're dealing with things like self-confidence, if you find something that you're like, okay, yes, this is good, this is what I want to do, it's really hard to pivot away from that, because now it's uncomfortable. So for me, you know, I did a lot of changing over the past couple of years, and it was okay. And it was for the better.
That's really, you know, an incredible journey. And, you know, you started somewhere though. And, I like that you talked about vulnerability being at, you know, the center of that one phone call that you made too. And how empowering was that especially somebody that you didn't know all that well, like you knew him, had a couple of conversations, and he was able to pour into you. Like, I bet that even in of itself felt incredible because it wasn't like a close best friend pouring into you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very beautiful moment. And you know, he's someone that I credit so much to, because he was the one that kind of, again, poured in, whispered into my ear, you know, from the very beginning, not even knowing me. So it was empowering, and he is someone that I still, to this day, I go to, and he just, you know, he just sees things in me that I still struggle to see even today. And so, yes, it was definitely very empowering. And I think that's something to call out too, that you cannot, in any journey that you're on, especially when it comes to mental health, self-confidence, please don't think that this is something that you can just manage and do on your own. It just, you can read all the books, you can watch all the podcasts and YouTube videos and all that stuff, and that's great, and that does help, but you need a support system. And yes, oftentimes you need people who believe in you more than you believe in yourself.
You mentioned when you were practicing vulnerability and the kind of the feedback being overwhelming. Could you expand on that a little bit? Because I think that is important for anybody who might be on this similar journey. I know that, like, I've shared some different things, being vulnerable on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever social, you know, and I get all of this amazing feedback, quite different from what you were doing. But I know that sometimes I don't know what to do with all of that feedback. And I'm like the first couple, I'm like, all right, yes. And then it keeps coming in and I'm like, I don't know where to put this and I don't know what to do with it. And it's overwhelming. So yeah. I'm sensing that may be somewhat common in people in our situations like that. And so would love to hear your thoughts around that.
Yeah. So it's kind of two steps. So the first step was reaching out to people and saying, or asking, hey, you know, what do you think I'm good at? Like, what do you think? That was very scary. And it was overwhelming for me because, you know, people were responding with not just like one thing. It was like 10 things, you know, and they were pulling things from scenarios from like 10 years ago that I didn't even remember happened. Or they were sharing with me ways that I helped them or impacted them or inspired them. And it was overwhelming and extremely humbling. But again, what it did for me was I took all those words, all that feedback, all that respect and you know, motivation, and I laid it down, and that became the foundation for me.
Yeah.
And so that's what I stand on now, is I stand on those words from all of those people, right, who were open enough with me to share that stuff. So it was overwhelming for me in an incredible way. I still have all those text messages. I actually like screenshotted them and I kept them, and I still look at them, especially on those days or those months where I got way more no's than I wanted to. I pull that because, and I think we talked about that, you know, before we got onto this call, but, you know, when we talk about betting on ourselves, I kind of betted on myself, but I was like, I'm just going to bet $2. I'm not going to put like the whole bank account in there. Right. And so when I am struggling to bet on myself, I look at those words because it really does help me. So I took all those words and I laid that down as the foundation, and that's what I sit on and that's what I stand on. And then I took it a step further. It took me some time to become vulnerable publicly. It took about maybe a year and a half before I publicly talked about what happened to me when I was terminated, because my story was not to minimize anyone else's experience, but my story was not just I was terminated or laid off. It was this shameful, embarrassing, how stupid are you story of asking for a promotion and in the same conversation being terminated. So there was significant shame around that for so many reasons, not just you're not good enough, but are you that daft? Like, how stupid are you? Like, how clueless are you? So there was significant shame around that. So it took about a year and a half for me to take that vulnerability to another level and share it publicly. And I finally did that, I think, in the beginning of 2023-ish, maybe the end of 2022, where I actually told the story. And then actually that's how you and I met, because I took it a step further and I did a speech at American Staffing Association Thrive, where I really dug into what that experience was. But as far as the response when I am being vulnerable, well, let me rephrase this. I'm not being vulnerable on social media. I'm being me.
Yeah.
That's it. So yeah. If it's up here, it's probably going to be on social media. And I'm sure you can see that I, you know, most of the time I'm not wearing makeup. Half of the time I don't really have any pearls of wisdom. I'm just kind of telling you what's going on in my brain and what my experience is at that moment. And so I started doing that more and more, and I was getting a lot of feedback, and it is overwhelming. But I realized that it was, I almost feel like I'm obligated to continue to do it, because to your point, so many people are dealing with so many things, and so many people feel so alone. And, you know, that one thing that you could say in that moment could be the one thing that keeps them connected. I got a message from someone, I think I was talking about dreams, because that's what I do. I just dream all day long. And I was talking about that, and I mentioned how old I was, and I talked about all the, just, you know, all the sucky things that have happened. And she messaged me and said to me, my goodness, I was literally in tears this morning, and then I came across your post. And I feel like you woke up this morning and thought, I needed to read your post, and you wrote this post just for me.
Oh, and that's incredible.
Yeah. And I mean, I get goosebumps now just even thinking about it. And so for me, I think it's an obligation that I have, and that is to share myself with others and to do what I can to, if it's just one person out there not feeling alone, then I did my job.
Because exactly.
We need, that's what we need. We need more support. We need to feel supported. We need to support each other, especially other women out there, because we tend to carry the brunt of all the things, and we are the most tired, we're the most stressed, we're the most overwhelmed. And so if we see another woman out there that's saying, man, you know what, I'm a hot mess just like you, but it's okay, then you kind of feel like, okay, all right, well, I haven't showered in 3 days, but I did feed my kid today, so I am hashtag winning. You know, I think we, and so that's part of what I do, is it's not about being vulnerable. It's not about having a brand. For me, it's about me just telling you, this is what's happening with me. Sometimes it's good days. Sometimes it's, I look crazy, but it's life. It is life. And it is part of the experience of trying to build something bigger and better and pursuing your dreams. And if you're not building anything and you're not pursuing your dreams, hey, you're waking up and you're trying your best.
Yeah.
And that's just as great.
Absolutely. You also mentioned, you talked a bit about shame. And one of the things that you talked about was the empathy you received in those conversations when you were reaching out to people. And I don't know if you're a Brené Brown person. I am just now getting into her.
Yes.
I know I'm like way behind on this bandwagon, but you know, she talks about how empathy is the antidote to shame, right? Yeah. And so it just resonates with me as you were explaining that, because it really is one of those things that you read in a book, but this was a real life example of putting empathy into practice and the power it has around others when you're wrapping them with that, and how it really can help get out of those shameful spirals, if you will.
Yeah. You know, my experience has been that the times that I felt the most alone were the times when I didn't allow someone else to be around me or to support me. It wasn't because I was alone. It was because I wasn't allowing someone else to be empathetic and be supportive. And so, you know, in the last couple of years, and I won't overshare, but in the midst of kind of growing my business and doing all these things, I found out some kind of life-changing news for me personally. And so all of those negative feelings I had that I thought I was kind of like, okay, I'm better equipped. I can handle this stuff now. Well, that just really tested me and took me to a really, 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 really dark place. It was right around the time that I met you, actually. And okay. Yeah. And it's stuff that I'm still working through, which is why I'm not prepared yet to talk about it publicly, but it's requiring me to allow people to support me. And
yeah.
It's hard. And it's hard because I think somehow, especially for women, I can't speak for men, but for women, especially, I think somehow we got that messaging along the way that we are to do all the things, we are to be all the things, we are to be the rock, you know, the glue, the support, everyone leans on us. And so when we are having some really difficult times, it's really difficult to ask for support. But in turn, what happens is that we become very isolated and we feel very alone. And it's not because we're alone, it's because we are not allowing others to help us and support us and love us and believe in us. And so, not quite sure where I was going with that, but truly, you know, I think at the end of the day, again, just the message here for me or from me is that you can move past a lot of these things that you have inside of you or these voices that you have inside of you that keep saying to you, yeah, you're not going to get there. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not good enough. All these things, you can do it, but you cannot do it alone.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and support for everyone could look differently. Like part of my support system is going to therapy every week, you know.
Yes.
Then there's your network of individuals who they can tell, like your close family and friends that can tell something's off before you even are able to ask for help. And by gosh, especially if you're resistant to asking for help, I know I can be sometimes. They'll curl up in the bed with me. We'll throw on Netflix. And, you know, you have the people that do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and therapy is another thing, right? There's still shame around that.
There is still
a lot of shame around that. And I didn't actually start going to a therapist until 2021 when this all happened. Because it was kind of, you know, I was dealing with some things professionally, and then the year after that, some really tough personal things happened. And so I needed it. And I always joke about the fact that I am my therapist. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm her favorite patient, because the first two sessions I went in and I was just like, I don't even think I need this. Like, it's totally fine. I'm totally fine. Like, whatever. And we get there and she literally said, so why are you here? And then I cried for 45 minutes. So it was the easiest money this woman ever made in her life. She was probably like, I need to get you on my books every day if I can, because you don't talk. All you do is cry. It's great. But you know, it's, you know, and that's the thing too about support, is that you have to get to a place where you can be very clear on the kind of support you need, right? So support from family and friends, that's great. Curling up in bed, watching Netflix, you need that. But there is a support that will actually give you the tools that you need to move forward in a healthy manner. So you have to be very careful with that, that you're not leaning, you know, on one side versus the other. And so there needs to be a balance, because spouses and sisters and friends and best friends and all that, that's great. You need that. But you also need tactical skills, because this, you know, whether it's self-confidence, imposter syndrome, you know, what other mental health, you know, challenges that you're having, they require some skills. And you're not going to get those skills from reading a book. You're not going to get those skills from talking to your best friend. You're going to get those skills from somebody who's trained to help you and also help you see things in a way that nobody else can. So that's just a kind of a call out to that. And that was something that was huge for me, because, you know, in my therapy alone, one of the big things I learned was I am a people pleaser at heart,
mm-hmm.
To my detriment, 10 times out of 10. And she really showed me and taught me that it was okay to actually say no, or to disconnect or distance myself from even very key, important figures in my life, including family. And that was something that was really difficult for me, but she empowered me to do so and taught me how to do that. My best friend, Crystal, in South Florida, she's not going to help me do that, right? She's going to be like, girl, let's get some wine. Let's talk smack about them. Yeah, they all suck. And, you know, and then I laugh and it's great, but it's different. So you have to make sure that there's a balance between those two, because you need it for sure.
Yeah. I think that's a really good call out. I think, you know, when in terms of therapy, right, obviously they're professionals. I think the other thing that makes therapy so unique compared to other support systems within one's life would be they're unbiased.
That's right. Yes.
So objective. They are objective and they come with a different lens, and really helps, at least with me, the clarity and kind of removing some of the fog of things that could be totally self-inflicted too, but yeah. They are trained to point those things out and work with you on building your toolkit.
Yes, and it's, exactly.
Yeah, it's critical. So
absolutely. And there's no shame there. There is none. And so I think it's so, Erica, I just love that you're doing this, because I think it's just so important for us to talk about these things. And, you know, as much as people say, oh, there's no, you know, there's no shame here, there still is. And because, you know, anytime you say the word therapist, you kind of go, yes, I'm going to go see my therapist.
Yeah.
Expert, right. Or I need to go get my medication. Or whatever that is. And so, but there should be no shame in it, because it's all part of your overall health.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of, kind of counter to that a little bit, but funny story. It reminds me of our dinner with the Oyster Club. And I think all of us at some point, somebody mentioned they have a therapist. And I was like, I have a therapist. The whole table ended up being like, yes, we all have therapists.
I also think that almost everybody at that dinner table cried a little bit that night, and we had never met each other.
I know. That's so true. It actually made my eyes water just thinking about that night and how incredible it was.
Yeah.
Such a fabulous group of women. So anyway, I just thought that was funny, because we were in a group of women that had never met, but we also could be vulnerable almost instantly. Which is wild when that happens, right?
Yes.
Like, it's just crazy. But I'm so thankful for it, because I wouldn't have met you along with other fabulous women, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what a great group of women too, right? And even just looking at the women in our Oyster Club. And our Oyster Club, like, we just called it that because it was a bunch of women at a conference, ended up at like a scheduled dinner, and we had oysters. But... you know, what was so cool is, I think when you look at the people who attended that dinner, right, you look at that dinner table, every type of woman, every type of title, every kind of educational background.
Yeah.
There were just so many differences, cultural differences, age differences, all of these different things. But we were able to come together without knowing each other and be so vulnerable with each other. So the thing that, like, I guess just humbles me and brings me joy and makes me a little teary-eyed, is what that said to me is that we all desperately needed that.
Yeah.
Right. We all desperately needed that. And now in the work that I do, I find that so often amongst women in the workplace is that they don't have a safe place to be vulnerable with others. Right. And 75% of people deal with imposter syndrome. So the majority of the women at that table probably were dealing with imposter syndrome, didn't have a safe place to be vulnerable. So just imagine how hard that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we took the train off the tracks there with that, but it was just such a beautiful, experience. And it just happened so just organically. It was really incredible.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Is why we're here. Exactly. And it's, you know, that group is also why I mean, Honestly Mental, the podcast launched very shortly after that. Yeah. And then, you know, we talked a bit about this, but I, where we got on this topic of betting on yourself is you were actually helping me recognize some things within myself, because I have opted to go on this journey of being self-employed and starting my own consultancy. And one of the things that you told me, which I just, I'm so glad you said it to me, because I repeat it to myself consistently when I'm starting to kind of feel some doubt creep in.
Yeah.
And I've shared it with others and they're like, that is probably some of the best advice you could have gotten, at this point in your journey. And it was, don't confuse the universe. And I yes. say that because at that time, yes. I was still applying to jobs.
Yes.
I was like half, you know, 1 foot out the door, 1 foot in the door. Like, I want to start my own business, but I'm just going to kind of keep this.
Keep my plan eye B. Open. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe something will come up. And, and it wasn't truly betting on myself at all.
Right. That's right.
It was partially maybe, but not where I needed to be in order to be successful. So you'll be happy to know that I have cut that crap out and I'm not doing it anymore. And it got me to a different place of like liberation when I think about being self-employed, not working for somebody else and really yeah. owning this journey. So I've got to thank you for that.
Oh my gosh. You're just, are you trying to make me cry? Because that's about to happen. No, but it's so true. And it's something that I learned, and it's so true. Don't confuse the universe. The universe wants to give you what you want. It, yeah. it does. It really, really does. But if you are saying, I'm starting my own business, but I'm over here applying on LinkedIn at the same time, the universe is like, I don't know what she wants me to do. And exactly. so it's so true. And I'm telling you, the moment you make that decision, things just kind of start to happen. The right people start showing up. People that you would have never interacted with ever before, somehow they find their way to you. Look at you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? We're a true testament to that, for sure.
The moment you make that decision and you bet on yourself 100%, now the universe is like, okay, Erica, I got you. You just keep yeah. doing your thing. I got it. I got this. So you're right. Oh, that makes me so happy. Yay.
Yeah. Yes. And that's, like I said, I have talked to, it was Rocky Howard, of course. Uh-huh. And she was like, that is some of the best advice you could have ever gotten. Which who is another just phenomenal woman.
Yes. She's awesome.
Love her too. And her journey. Okay. So we've talked a lot about, or we've talked already about the layoff, kind of the progression to where you are today. Since you and I are both human, you have days that are probably lower than others and things like that. So what does like seeking help look like for you now that you have more tools in your toolkit? What does that look like?
So it looks like a few things. So the first thing being 100% honest, you know, especially when I'm having those really, really tough days, he's very good at doing two things. He's very good at, sprinkling fairy dust on me to make me feel like I can do anything because he believes in me. But he's also really great at giving me a kick in the pants at the same time. So it's like, here's your fairy dust. Now get it done already. Right.
Off you go.
So, yes. No, off you go. So support looks like that for me. My husband is a huge support for me. I mean, I have a support system. I have friends, I have colleagues, and I seek them out for different things. But when it comes to the, I'm in the trenches, I'm sitting on the toilet and I'm in tears and I'm freaking out and I'm thinking about my daughter's college tuition. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking about all these things, this master degree that I have that I'm like technically not using. When I'm in the trenches, that he is my support system because he knows me better than anyone else. And he has figured out this way to, again, sprinkle the fairy dust while kicking me in the pants. So it's, I'm going to give you enough love so that you know that you're loved and I believe in you, but I'm not coddling you. We're not doing that because you are a big girl. You have the ability to do it. So quit your crying and get to it. So
yeah.
That works for me because it gives me a combo of the two. And it's something that I definitely need. Outside of that, you know, when I am struggling with things like I have ideas, my gosh, I suffer from a case of too many ideas. And so when I have a ton of ideas or I have things that I'm thinking about trying or things like that, that's when I reach out to my network of friends and colleagues and trusted people that I could say, hey, Sheena, I was thinking about such and such and such. Hey, Natalie, what do you think about this? Would you mind looking at this thing for me and giving me some really great feedback? Because one thing I've found, Erica, which is interesting because I didn't find it as much when I was an employee. What I found since I've crossed over to the other side and I'm now a business owner is other female business owners, entrepreneurs, keynote speakers, they want you to be successful and they want to help you and they want to pour into you. I didn't experience that as much as an employee when I was dealing with female colleagues and leaders. And I think it's because imposter syndrome is like, you know, like a virus in the corporate world, right? Amongst women. And so we all have our backs against the wall. So, you know, I can't help you out, Erica. I'm struggling with my own problems. But something happens when you make that decision and you make that leap to start your own thing. I think something happens inside of you that makes you want to surround yourself with other women who are doing the same thing. So I have an incredible network of women entrepreneurs that I tap on the shoulder. They do the same for me. You and I have experienced that. And so when I need support in terms of ideas or things that I'm just afraid of trying or just some things I'm like, okay, girl, just tell me, is this too much? Like, am I just tell me the truth, right? I have those folks that I can actually lean on. So that's what support looks like for me. I also still have my therapist. I see her every other week because again, I'm still working through some very tough things personally, that it's really giving me a run for my money. I'll just leave it at that. But so that's what support looks like for me. My kids, they're a huge support for me, even though they're not necessarily supporting me.
They give me
so much joy and so much love. And I love seeing that, you know, and I think I said this to you a while ago, what an example you will be for your kids when you pursue your own dreams. And I'm seeing that now with my kids where, you know, they're both talking about starting their own businesses and doing all these really cool things. And so that, even though it's not support, it fills my cup and it makes me feel incredible joy. And it continues to light that fire inside of me to keep moving forward, even when I fail, and I fail every day, every single day.
Yep.
And so I no longer define myself through my failures. I define myself through my effort. And that's it. So that's what support looks like for me.
Yeah, I think that's fabulous. So you hit on a few different buckets there. And I think that you have a really strong toolkit and toolbox to lean into depending on what the day's challenge is, right? And so, you know, I commend you for knowing that those things are needed and then how to pull each of the levers, because some of us are still figuring it out. I am one of them, like what works best for me in certain scenarios and whatnot. And I would say I'm still kind of on the path of like, I'm stepping my toes into, well, outside of being completely vulnerable with my mental health issues. Right. But as it relates to like this business and stepping my, like, got the little toe in the water there as it relates to asking people about my ideas and things like that. So it inspires me to really be comfortable with the discomfort and push myself and my limits a little bit further than what I have so far. So I think really great advice that you have there. What would you, as we look to kind of wrap up for the day, if you could leave behind, you know, a few bullets or items for our listeners, what do you think you would leave them with?
I would say that wherever you are right now, it doesn't have to be the full story. It's just a chapter. That's all that it is. It could be a funny chapter, a beautiful chapter, a scary chapter, an embarrassing chapter. It doesn't matter. It's just a chapter. And I think, you know, just remember that. And you know, gosh, I used to kind of like eye roll when people used to say this, but I'm just going to say it because I'm actually believing it and I'm seeing it now. And I think that that is just that, remembering that you are capable, you are deserving, you belong, and you matter. And I know that, you know, you hear that so much, but for me personally, those very simple words meant nothing to me 5 years ago, nothing at all. And now when I'm doing whatever I'm doing, you know, on a daily basis, or I look in the mirror, I actually am starting to believe it, that I actually matter. Some of those things in my past, that's what it is. They're chapters, but there's this whole novel. There's all these chapters that I haven't even written yet. And ultimately I get to decide what that looks like. And I think that's the biggest message, is regardless of where you are right now, whatever chapter you're in right now, you get to decide, you have the pen and you get to decide what the next chapters look like. And guess what? If you're like, I don't know, well, then use a pencil, because then you can erase it and rewrite it. There you go. Use a pencil. So that would be my biggest advice, is just, if you're having a tough time right now, know that you're not the only one, and know that you have the power to change things as you move forward. This is just a chapter. That's it. That's all that it is. Maybe it's time to wrap up this chapter and move on to the next. But that's all that it is. It's just a chapter, and you have the ability to write the future chapters of your life, and you are capable and you can do that. And I would say, I have this, like, we're not on video, but I'll show it to you because I know you can see me. You know, when you talked about you had affirmations everywhere, I actually took my affirmations down because, you know, I'm from South Florida. I lived in South Florida. We went to Disney all the time. And I'm like, God, Disney is just like the greatest place ever. I wish I could just buy, you know, a house here and just live here. But the story behind how, you know, Walt Disney did what he did is an incredible story. So if you're struggling with self-confidence, you look up Mr. Walt Disney and see what that story looked like. But I say all that to say that I've taken down all the affirmations, and this is the only one that I have. And that is, if you can dream it,
you can do it.
That's it. And it sits on my desk. It's right here, because when I'm having those really tough times, I look at that and I think, okay, I can do it. I can do whatever it is. I can get past it and I can do it. So just know that you can get past it. You have the ability to, and it's a choice that you just need to make.
Yes. And thank you. Those are great, you know, tidbits of advice. I absolutely love them. I love the Disney quote too. I'm a sucker for some Disney quotes in that story. I'm going to leave us all with one other quote here. Apparently this is the episode for quotes, but it says, she silently stepped out of the race she never wanted to be in, found her own lane, and proceeded to win. So yes. Thank you everyone for listening in. Appreciate you. And you know what to do at this stage. If you could rate, subscribe, and share this podcast, that's how we get the message out and help others. Take care.